We haven't checked the numbers on the Carr fire in the Redding area for a while. It's nearly contained at roughly 230,000 acres. 1,079 homes were destroyed and 190 damaged, most on that Thursday night when the fire swept in from the west and moved into Redding itself. The disaster was soon followed by a disaster declaration, and that was soon followed by the arrival of the Small Business Administration in Redding. SBA services are not limited to helping small businesses get back on their feet. Homeowners have opportunities here, too. Let's talk about this with Chelsea Irving, who's a public information officer with the Office of Disaster Assistance Field Operations Center West in the Small Business Administration. Chelsea, thanks for joining us on The Exchange today.
Thank you so much for having me, Jeffrey, and I really appreciate the opportunity to discuss what we're doing here and educate your listeners about the federal assistance that's available now for Carr Fire survivors.
So let's understand, are you part of the crew that came to Redding?
Yeah, I'm here in Redding right now, and I've been here for just about 3 weeks.
3 weeks, okay. So you guys got there fast after the fire.
You know, we're 24-hour turnaround from the time that these declarations are made, so we're always having our bags packed.
So talk about how the whole declaration process works, because that really is the key to getting the SBA into some town, right?
Right, right. So what happens is the governor actually requests a federal declaration from the president, and being as the scope of the Carr Fire was indeed so large and so many homes affected, he approved that declaration. And so what that means is it unlocks the access for survivors to both FEMA and the SBA. And so how that works is FEMA provides immediate needs assistance in the form of grants, so they can help get you into rentals, help you with rental assistance, food, things like that, to get you, you know, in a safe environment. And what a lot of people don't know is that the SBA, Office of Disaster Assistance, is actually the primary source for long-term disaster recovery for uninsured and underinsured losses to businesses of all sizes, most private nonprofits, homeowners, and renters, like you mentioned. And I know even more people don't realize, since their name is the SBA, that probably 80 to 85% of our loans are made to homeowners and renters.
Interesting. So in case anybody is just tuning you out because they think, oh, it's Small Business Administration, yes, it doesn't have anything to do with me. It does if you're a homeowner who's had a damaged home.
Exactly, exactly. You know, it's tricky to get past that initial SBA, that doesn't affect me, I'm not a business point. But that's why we're out here trying to educate as many people as we can that, in fact, if you're a homeowner, we offer up to $200,000 to repair or replace a primary residence. And for homeowners and renters, we offer up to $40,000 to replace anything lost inside the home and disaster-damaged vehicles. And because these loans are funded straight through the federal government, there's no fees, there's no added charges or anything, and the interest rate is obviously below market rate because, you know, we're able to be subsidized directly by the government. And so for most homeowners and renters, that interest rate is only 1.938%, and it's made like a mortgage where it's up to 30 years to pay off that loan. And another benefit of these loans, as we know the situation when it comes to disasters, it takes a long time for insurance to shake out. It takes a long time to even know what your plans are going to be. There's a 5-month payment deferment from the time that you sign your loan document. So, you know, if there is going to be a shortfall, if you have insurance and potentially costs maybe more down the road than you think they are, this really is the best money available in those cases.
I was waiting to hear what the interest rate was, and I thought I'd hear something in the 3 to 4% range. You're talking sub 2%.
Right, right, 1.938%, and that's because this is money allocated directly from Congress to help disaster survivors get through these times. And that's an important thing to mention because I know a lot of people think, oh, I don't want to take out a loan, you know, and we're not trying to burden anybody with extra expenses. But really, if there is going to be any kind of shortfall, if you're uninsured or underinsured, this is the best money going.
We are talking to Chelsea Irving, the public information officer at the Office of Disaster Assistance Field Operations Center West at the Small Business Administration, currently set up shop in Redding to deal with the aftermath of the Carr Fire. You may have many questions about what the possibilities are, several of which have been answered already by Chelsea, but feel free to join us on the phone at 800-838-3760 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. A couple times you've mentioned under or uninsured, and I wonder how often you get into that situation with people with their private homes in particular.
You know, a lot of people, especially in this case, are insured. And they think, well, my insurance is great. They've already sent me a check. Wonderful. Well, the truth of the matter is that the recovery process can be quite long. I was just at a debris removal meeting last week, and even that process of getting lots cleared of potentially hazardous material could take up to a couple of months. So when all is said and done, when you're talking about a rebuild situation, we could be a year down the road, 2 years down the road. And so you don't really know what the final costs are going to be. And that's why we suggest that anybody who has suffered damage from the car fire apply for one of these loans, get the process started, and as long as you get in by our October 3rd deadline, you can go through the process and then put it on hold, and that unlocks a six-month window so that you can take it down the road, or you never have to take it. There's no fees or anything like that. So it's just really important to get that application in so that at least you can have that kind of contingency plan in case you need it down the road.
So there's no penalty for starting the process and not completing it. You don't end up having a fee or some a pullout payment or something.
Nope, there's no fees associated with these loans, no costs, no appraisals or anything like that. You don't have to know how much you want to borrow. It's based on our verified estimate. We have a verifier come out to the property and kind of assess the situation and give a basic estimate. And we also know that that number can be pretty flexible. If you're approved, you have a case manager work with you through the entire recovery process so that if costs go up, costs go down, your loan amount could go up and down with those costs.
So you mentioned debris removal. I've been reading a little bit about this, and I think we'll have some on later in this week from our news department about the process in Reading. But you mentioned it's not a quick process. It sounds like it's a two-stage thing where first crews come through and figure out what the hazmat might be in a house, everything from stored propane to paint, I guess. And then the Cal Recycle people follow through. Are you familiar with that process?
You know what? That's not really my wheelhouse, but I did go to that meeting, and they spent 2 hours going over it, and they have a pretty good system. And then obviously they had a lot of practice last year with the fires in Santa Rosa, and it's just a matter of you can only do so much in a day, and they're trying to get these things done as quickly as possible, but when you have 1,000 homes that have burnt down, it's obviously going to take a little bit of time, and that's why we understand that, and we know this is, we're in it for the long haul. That's why, you know, I say we're the number one source of long-term recovery money, because the short-term right now is just the beginning. It's just getting people in rentals and things like that, but, you know, this entire process could take a couple of years.
All right. Yeah, I was asking primarily because of the timing on it. So it does take a while to work through. And you're saying it's how many months potentially before construction can start again in some of these cases?
You know, it's hard to gauge, but they were estimating that they were optimistically saying it was going to be a few months before all 1,000 or 1,200 homes were repaired. But it really depends. There's so many variables. The weather even affects it and things like that. But the Department of Toxic Substance Control and Cal Recycle are really on it. They have great staff out here. And if people have questions, there's a lot of information available at the city and county website at ShastaReadingRecovers.org.
ShastaReadingRecovers.org.
Yeah, that's the website that the city and county put together that has, it's basically a clearinghouse of all the information that survivors need to know.
And so if people do come to you thinking they're going to get served, first of all, I mean, can a lot of the stuff for SBA be handled online on the phone, or do they have to do some face-to-face time with you too?
You know, you can do the whole application process online. Our website is www.sba.gov/disaster, and you can apply right there. Or we do have a disaster recovery center set up at the old Kmart here in Reading at 2685 Hilltop. And our staff is there and can walk you through the application process. But being the nature of disaster, we want to make the process as smooth as possible so it can be done online. But a lot of people want that face-to-face and just the comfort of having somebody walk them through. So our staff is here. We have staff that speak Spanish and Hindi and, you know, every we have a few other languages out there. We also, for our businesses, have a business recovery center, and that's where I'm actually talking to right now. It's at the Superior California Economic Development Office at 350 Hartnell, Suite A, all the way in the back, and we have our staff here that can walk you through the process if you are a business or private nonprofit that has suffered losses from the car fire.
Now, say somebody comes to SBA and their issue is more of a FEMA kind of issue. I mean, how closely linked are the two agencies? I mean, are you able to make a warm handoff, or are you going to send them to a different place?
You know, in our disaster recovery center, it's you go through FEMA and the SBA is right next. next door. So, like, not even next door. It's literally, we sit right next to them. So it's a very kind of streamlined process. So you go in there, you check in, you register with FEMA, which is the most important thing for any homeowner, renter, or business that's affected. Register with FEMA, no matter if you think you have your insurance coverage or anything. An important thing about FEMA, besides obviously their number one job to make everybody safe, sanitary, and secure, the important thing about registering with FEMA is they're the ones that keep records, so we know the scope of these disasters and we can plan ahead. So if you don't register with FEMA, we're not going to know that you were affected, and we can't plan for staffing and funding and those types of things for future years. So we highly recommend anybody, including businesses, even though FEMA doesn't really offer grant assistance for businesses, we recommend everybody register with FEMA. You can do that at disasterassistance.gov. or at the Disaster Recovery Center. And then SBA is literally the next step in the Disaster Recovery Center, and we go through the application process. And something to mention there, too, is I know that there's some of the area that was affected is more people living off the grid, maybe, you know, some people who retired out there who are maybe just collecting Social Security, and having a loan probably isn't a feasible option. There's, you know, maybe not enough money in the monthly budget to afford any other payments. So what happens there is if the SBA is unable to approve you for a loan, most homeowners and renters are then actually referred back to FEMA for what's called other needs assistance. And it's not a promise of a grant, but it's a additional potential grant assistance. And I think another thing that people don't realize is that the SBA is kind of sandwiched in the middle of that grant assistance, and people who think, ooh, there's no way I can afford a loan, you know, even with these great kind of terms, it's just not feasible on my monthly income. But in fact, you do need to go to that through the SBA process in order for that potential referral back to FEMA.
And what is the lid on the other needs assistance? Is there an upper limit?
You know what? It's the same limit as the immediate needs assistance. It's up to $34,000. It's the maximum household grant assistance. So that's another reason why the SBA really is the number one source of long-term recovery, because especially when you have a situation like this where your home has burned down, $34,000 isn't really going to get you all the way back to pre-disaster condition. But, you know, it's a help, and this is the federal government's way of doing what they can to assist these survivors in this traumatic situation.
Chelsea Irvine, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange in Redding to help with the car fire disaster recovery. She's with the Small Business Administration. You can join us with questions or comments at 800-838-3760 over the phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. The registration process that you mentioned starts with FEMA and can send you over to SBA if that's where your needs lie.
Right.
Should everybody who had any sort of fire exposure, I mean, even if your house is like, you know, three doors away from the nearest flame, but you got a little bubbling on your paint, should you still go ahead and register?
Yes, you should. We need to know everybody that was affected by the fire, whether it be from ash, from something like you're saying, or from heat. We want to know everyone so that we can know the real scope of who was affected. I know that there's a lot of people with what's called survivor's guilt, where they think my home didn't burn down, it's not that bad, I have insurance. And I've talked to a lot of those people, and, you know, it is important that we know. It's important that there's some kind of clear picture of how many people were affected. So I would highly suggest everybody register with FEMA. Everybody can apply with us. And just in case, have it as your, you know, keep it in your back pocket in case there's any kind of shortfall. If you don't need it, you don't have to take it. And one person receiving a grant or a loan doesn't affect another person's ability to receive that grant or loan. There's not a finite amount of money where it could run out. That's just not the case.
You're not taking from somebody else, in other words.
Exactly. And you know, another thing that I think would be important to mention, just because of how the car fire, you know, the nature of this kind of disaster, is even for small businesses, we do obviously offer these loans to businesses of all sizes and most private nonprofits for up to $2 million to repair or replace damaged real property and machinery and equipment and inventory and all that stuff. But a huge thing that is also a component of these loans is economic injury. And so if you are a small business or a private nonprofit and business is down, you're in the tourism industry and people aren't renting your kayaks or buying your bikes or staying at your vacation rentals, we offer up to $2 million in what's called working capital. They're called, and that, what that means is It's funds to pay ongoing expenses, keep staff employed, keep the lights on, keep the lease paid, and you don't have to have suffered actual physical damage. And these loans for economic injury are available not just to Shasta County and now Lake County. Lake County was added over the weekend to this declaration.
By the Mendocino Complex, yeah.
Yeah, by the Mendocino Complex. But all the counties that touch Shasta and Lake County, all the contiguous counties, so Lassen, Modoc, Plumas, Trinity, Tehama.
Siskiyou?
Siskiyou, Yolo, just looking at our updated list, Sonoma, Napa, Mendocino, Glen, Colusa. So a lot of this area can apply for these economic injury disaster loans, because I know that these small businesses are the backbone of this area, and, you know, there's not wide margins, and so it's really a struggle right now for a lot of people. I've talked to a lot of local business owners that are really feeling the pinch right now, especially when it's supposed to be the busy time of year that holds them over through the more lean winter months. So the interest rate for most businesses is 3.61%. And for nonprofits, it's 2.5. Same thing where it could be up to 30 years with a five-month payment deferment. And I just really want to suggest that any business that's struggling or could potentially feel the pinch to apply for these loans. Again, there's no obligation to take it, but this is, you know, these are our tax dollars trying to keep these businesses functioning during this recovery period.
So essentially get a foot in the door. Make sure that you at least have reserved a place, even if you don't end up using it.
Exactly, exactly. It's just good to have there as a backup plan. It's the best money that you'll be able to access. We don't want people, you know, maxing out lines of credit, or I've already talked to people who've been putting things on credit cards. And this money is there for this purpose at the lowest interest rate with the best terms directly from Congress to help these businesses and nonprofits stay afloat. So I really highly recommend any business that is in that wide area between these two counties and the contiguous to really apply and have it just in case.
Chelsea, we're almost out of time. You mentioned October 3rd deadline. So is this when the chance to get your foot in the door essentially closes?
So, yes, October 3rd is the deadline for physical damage for homeowners, renters, businesses, and nonprofits. And then that economic injury disaster loan, that deadline actually isn't until May 6th, because we understand that you might not really be feeling it right now because it's, you know, still summertime. But maybe in 3 months you might say, well, geez, nobody's here. We lost the shoulder season completely, and now I'm hurting. So that deadline for economic injury disaster loans is May 6th.
Okay, so a lot of places to go to turn for assistance, and obviously the folks at SBA are well-versed in this and have been there before, so you can go to ShastaReadingRecovers.org or SBA.gov/disaster. Should they just drop in, too? Is it okay to just come by the old Kmart?
Yeah, everybody's welcome at the old Kmart. We're open 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. 7 days a week right now. Mm-hmm. We have plenty of staff there. There's no lines or anything like that, and you know, we're just here to make this process as smooth as possible and get these survivors on the road to recovery.
Chelsea Irvine, Small Business Administration Disaster Assistance, thank you so much for joining us on The Exchange today.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.